Okay, folks, now 5 o'clock, and call this meeting to order of the regular meeting of the Sewage Commission, Orville Region. Roll call, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Masalato.
Here.
Commissioner Fairbanks.
Here.
Chairman Pittman.
Here.
Commissioner Reynolds. Absent. Commissioner Hatley.
Here.
Commissioner Riston.
Aye.
All right, can we all stand for the flag? Chairman, would you lead us?
I would love to. Salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Item number four, acknowledgement of visitors in the room. Can we get some, maybe tell us who you are?
Simon Gray from Coleman Engineering.
Thank you, sir. And?
Phil Strawn from K&M Butte Developers and Modern Building.
Thank you, sir. Do you have any comments to make now or later on agenda?
None from me.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm on the agenda, I think, or my part.
Okay.
You're on the agenda.
Okay, good. Item number five, board meeting minutes. Anyone review the minutes and find any comments?
I'll make a motion that we approve the board meeting minutes from December 15th, 2021.
I'll second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. All in favor of, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So carried. Thank you all. Number six, authorization of warrants.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, you and I went over the warrants yesterday.
We did, and was the total 450,063 correct?
Yep.
Okay. And we had quite a stack. I'll have to admit that was probably one of the largest warrant jobs I've been down here for. So lots of good detail.
One thing I do want to mention, Mr. Chairman, is bill that we paid to Pape Machinery for plant maintenance. Came out to $6,687.40. Originally, that's one of our trailer-mounted pumps. It's pretty crucial in emergency situations. I sent that off for repair. Came back as a $2,500 quote. We said go ahead. Then it came back and they wanted and it required more work, so it was $6,600. I felt like I wanted to use my emergency powers to go up to approve it up to $10,000 that the board has allowed me to do, because I didn't want to wait until the board meeting to get it approved, because it is an emergency piece of equipment. So I just wanted to let you guys know that typically that would have been here at the board meeting for your approval, but because of the type of equipment it was, that I just went ahead and used my authorization to approve that one.
Have you used them before?
Pape Machinery?
Yes.
We have not.
Did it seem odd that the original quote was $2,500 and then it was $6,600, was there literally more?
Yeah, there was literally more. We were under the assumption only one of the injectors had gone bad and three or four of them had gone
okay.
bad. So they had to go back in, and which I kind of argued about the labor a little bit, because it was like, well, it would have been nice if you had figured that out the first time, because you had to go back in and charge me more labor for going back in. So they were like, well, we didn't know. So
okay.
And I assume the cost of repairs was well under the value of the equipment.
Yeah, to replace that pump would be probably about $70,000. So
good. Thank you. Appreciate the discussion. Hearing all that information, I'll entertain a motion to authorize warrants.
I'll second it.
I think you make the motion because okay. you reviewed them.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. I'll make a motion to authorize warrants, and been seconded by Commissioner Fairbanks. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? So carried. Thank you all. Number seven, fiscal reports. The board will review the fiscal report for December 2021.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I included the fiscal reports into the packet for your guys' review. All seems in order to me.
Anyone have any questions of the manager?
No.
No? Okay. Well, then we'll receive the reports as presented, and thank you very much. Number eight, fee waiver request by K&amp;M Developers. The board will hear a request from K&amp;M Developers to postpone their monthly sewer service charges under development until development is occupied. It's a discussion item, so do we have someone to speak on that?
Yeah, just from the crowd, right?
That's fine, yeah.
We're developing in Oroville. We've got the Olive Ranch Apartments Phase 1, Phase 2, Phase 3, and we're developing over off of Mono Avenue, where the old FEMA site is, the Table Mountain Apartments Phase 1 and Phase 2. I don't have the math off the top of my head, but it's 81 units, 80 units, 51 units, 48 units, and 48 units. Pretty sizable developments for the community for our low-income housing, which is desperately needed in this area as the government's injected a large amount of money to try and make sure it happens to our community. With that, these fees were kind of hitting us off guard, as we haven't seen these fees in other jurisdictions with regards to Chico, Redding, Mount Shasta, a bunch of other communities that we've worked in, and for development, I should say. And to us, the presence of getting charged a fee before a service has been used is something that doesn't make sense to us. And we've sought outside counsel on it to get their take, and they've directed me and my ownership team to not pay the fees under their take, as the fees are illegal. And they've asked that we set up a dialogue between our outside counsel and your guys' counsel to maybe discuss their points and see what you guys think. I can give that contact information to start that discussion if that works. I don't know if that's allowed or not, but that's kind of where we're at with it.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, first thing I would say is this has kind of gone backwards. So SCORA is not the fee collector. The city is the fee collector. Thermalito is the fee collector. Loepa is the fee collector. So in my opinion, K&amp;M Developers should have went to the city council meeting and asked for the city to waive their fees. And once that was done, then come to SCORA and try to request the same from us. With that being said, my recommendation is that those fees are in place for a reason. We've never waived those fees for anybody, and I don't think it would be wise to start a precedence now. That's my opinion.
Well, and my question to you when we saw the letter is, I asked you to do some research to see if we've ever done this or had a precedent in the past, going back all the way to SCORA's inception back into the 70s, and I think you utilized an old manager back here to look it up for him, so.
Yes, sir, I called former manager Ray Souza, got a lot more time here at SCORA than me, knows the history of SCORA a lot better than I do. And Ray can speak to it, but yeah, it's never been done at this point, so.
I have a couple questions or comments. So, have the connection fees been paid?
As far as I know, yes. We've received.
As far as I know, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We received the RFCs, yes.
Right. So I was going to say the same thing that the manager brought up. So this is a joint power agreement. So it's with three owners, the Thermalito Water and Sewer District, the City of Oroville and Lake Oroville Public Utilities District. SCORA doesn't collect the fees. Each member entity does. So we, as a member entity, would have to pay SCORA. If we chose at the entity level, if Thermalito decided we're going to waive those fees, we would still have to pay SCORA out of our pocket, because sir, that's how the policy works. So that's what I saw when I first read this, was that I felt that you guys should have went to the City of Oroville, and if that's where the fees need to be paid to, and ask them for that, not SCORA, because we don't. SCORA doesn't collect them, the member entities each do in their own jurisdiction.
And we did go to the City of Oroville first, and we didn't go towards City Council, we went to City Management Staff, and we were directed to go to SCORA.
Our SCORA policy.
And then we were told that the city, internally talking, they'd have to run it by council, but their thoughts is that they would probably mirror whatever SCORE decided to do.
So out of the, and I'm just going off the 82 units for that were in the letter.
Sure, and you understand why we're trying to talk, because there's a lot, it's more than just this first phase, yeah.
So in the letter that was sent about the 82 unit, or the 82 EDUs that's involving, your total was $42,735.12, and only $19,532 of that would be owed to SCORE. The other portion of that is the city of Oroville's. So once again, like I said, you know, that should be the first step in my mind, is to get rid of the $23,202.72 that would be Oroville's, what they would be collecting, and then come to SCORE at that point. But I think we got the cart a little bit before the horse here.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, if I might also interject, I'm more than happy to have a conversation with counsel for the developer. There's a couple of issues that I will tell you very candidly, if I had a dollar for every time some attorney for a developer said a fee was illegal, I'd have a lot of dollars in my pocket. And that's not a critical comment. It's just, I understand development and I understand the purpose of it, particularly, you know, low income housing. But the problem that you have is your rates are set as a property use rate. It's not a property tax. It's not incident of property ownership. It is a use of property fee. And so they're set pursuant to Proposition 218. So that fee is established by determining how much each EDU costs for for infrastructure and for all the other costs that are associated with it on an annual basis to operate the plant. There are two problems. One, if you waive the fees for some properties, it undermines the entire Proposition 218 structure, such that someone else could say that the property owners who are not paying are getting a gift of public funds. I understand the purpose of low-income housing, and I understand the benefits of it, but unfortunately, this is a fee for the use of the property. The other component is there is another, because it relates to the use of the property, they have the ability to build the entire structure, build the lateral, and wait until they get, right before they get their occupancy permit, to then connect to the system. But once that project is connected to the system, they have a right to use it. And the other policy reason why you want to charge individuals for at the moment that they connect is because you could have a limited number of EDUs. I mean, the plant you have at SCORE has a limited capacity. You could have a developer come in with no ability or no intent to build something in the next 10 or 15 years, connect to your system, bank the EDUs, take them off of the market from SCORE, and sit on them and say, well, now, great, these are mine, no one else can use them, but they wouldn't have paid for those. And I'll tell you quite candidly, from a policy perspective, the fact that low-income housing is so greatly subsidized by the federal government and by the state government, it's an awful difficult proposition to suggest that the ratepayers should then be saddled with further increases in costs to further subsidize the low-income housing. I'm very sympathetic to it. I get why the developers are asking for it, and I get why they want the waiver of the fees, not just in this instance, but ongoing into the future. It's my legal position that it is unlawful to do that. I'm happy to have a conversation with counsel for the developers, but I would recommend that you not do that.
Just to be clear, fees that we're looking to be waived would be only until we get a temporary certificate of occupancy where we have people living and using the facilities. As I would say that the developer ideology of a developer locks up land, ties it up, and then doesn't build on it doesn't really fall into suit with low-income housing, because there's so many requirements for our start date based on our funding that we can't lock it up and just hang on to it. We have a definitive start date and end date before we incur costs far beyond a fees for score. And we're not looking to get a waiver into the future. We understand that once we have people living there flushing the toilets, that we are definitely putting an impact on your system, and we want to pay for that, and we feel that that's a justified fee at that point. But until we connect and actually flush toilets and turn on faucets, we're not putting things down the drain. And to the argument of why we couldn't connect at the very end of the tie-in, is twofold. One, in this case, the city of Oroville was doing a new service up Table Mountain for specifically Olive Ranch apartments. And we had to jump onto that tie-in at that point in time because the city did not want to let us tear up their brand new road operation and work later. And at the same time, that tie-in is 21 feet down and that trench is 21 feet down on our property. So to try and do that work after we have vertical structures up is not a reasonable or sound approach to work. So that's why we had to do the sewer first on our end from a feasibility. And I know that might not really dictate your decision, but just as a common understanding, that's why we did the tie-in initially. And right now the tie-ins are not done to the buildings. And that can be checked by a building inspector and confirmed. We have the sewer ran to the buildings, but the 5-foot connection point has not been done.
Also, real quick, while the road was dug up and it was accessible, it would also have been cheaper for you to tie in at that time as well.
We did not, and we did not tie in when it was dug. We had to tie in after.
But while it was with open, instead of having to then turn around and dig up asphalt and then have to
redo that. Yeah. Still, yeah.
Okay.
So if I'm hearing what the attorney said, from an engineering perspective, the fee wouldn't be necessarily needed until you actually make the actual pipe connection. So if you moved in, I mean, you got the place done, finished, and then when you started occupying, you made that connection at the individual building or something. Has that been a common practice? I'm gonna ask our old manager here.
Okay, yeah, thanks. This has come to this commission numerous times since the inception of this core. And for the sake of the six of you, let me put it this way. The request, and if we take the window dressing off it, it's a reservation of capacity. Bottom line,
right?
They're having something for nothing, you're reserving it. Mm-hmm. The financial plan doesn't allow for that. We had only one that was allowed, but that was because they paid to help this plant be built in the state parks. LOPA put that to bed with their lawsuit many years ago. So it no longer exists. Mm-hmm. But in the final, it states that clearly. The reservation of capacity has come to this table so many times, and it comes in many forms. And here's what may come to you someday. This won't be the last. Because it's business, you know, and these guys are just trying to stay in business.
Sure.
I have had a request for reduction in fees, not to pay when we had large motels come to us and say, look, we have no vacancy 68% of the time. So 32% of the time, can we have a reduction? Mm-hmm. I've had state budget crises where the school districts came here and said, I'd like a 25% reduction in our sewer put on hold because we don't have school June, July, and August. We're, you know, the governor's told us to cut corners everywhere we can. Can we cut corners here? Mm-hmm. We've had, you just dealt, I don't know if you were here, Dave, but you were here with Popeye. Mm-hmm. They went through the same thing. They were denied. They were much bigger than these folks. Until they threw theirs back into the kitty. Now the 411 EDUs that were thrown back into the pool, maybe some of the EDUs that these guys are utilizing. Mm-hmm. And if they were tied up, it may have been an issue with their developer agreement. Because you guys are running low on EDUs. Mm-hmm. You know, you're
correct.
If it was a gas gauge on your car, the light's about ready to come on. Okay. So, and it, like I said, it comes in fashions. We've had industry come here and ask for this very same thing. They actually brought their attorney with them and wanted 100,000 gallons a day into this plant until their process got ironed out at the expense of the existing ratepayers. So you set a precedence, and I don't think, and Scott, you tell me I'm wrong because I am not an attorney, but you can't be arbitrary and capricious. Mm-hmm. So if you grant these guys, and these are good guys, but and they're doing what they have to do, but if you grant them that, you have to grant everybody through the door the same thing. How do you deny it? Now, this guy down here, he may come right back at you for the 411 that was thrown back in. The next industry walks into town, and he's going to have to say, yes, we've done this, this is prior practice now. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's come over the years, large scale, small scale. Our legal counsel, past legal counsel, has says we were justified to deny it because it's basically a good public policy to endorse these kind of policies that protect you guys. Now, for the political side of it, it's all nice, but you're doing it at the grace of the other two entities. Okay, if you, the city, say, yes, I would like to reserve X amount because we've got Amazon coming into town, which we all know Amazon's coming into town. Mm-hmm. We'd like to reserve X, Y, and Z to lure them in here. Mm-hmm. That's at the graces of Twisted and Lowput because right. they too are as equal as everybody. You're all three so right. equal. So you don't want to go down this road. I'm sorry, guys, but this is my opinion. You don't want to go down this road because you will actually set a precedence where you may come to battle with each of you. This has worked good for 45 years. Mm-hmm. It's worked flawlessly for 45 years. But you need to stick to your guns and understand what you do for one, you have to do for all.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that discussion. Anyone else?
No. One other thing to piggyback off of what Attorney Huber said. Not only the 218s are tied to this, but our financial applications for loans, that's all tied to our financial plan, which states that we don't have fee waivers or, we don't give people breaks on fees. So there's a lot of tentacles with this. It's not just helping out K&M developers so they can be, put houses in Oroville. It's very far reaching and it affects a lot more things than just their bottom line.
I just had a question for clarity, just to make sure. So on the future developments, and granted, we've already tied in for phase one of Olive Branch, but for Olive Branch 2, Olive Branch 3, and then our two that are off of Mono Avenue, if we do not make the tie-in, as I think Scott had said, if we don't make the tie-in, but we have all the rest of the units ran, we would avoid this fee. Okay. Table Mountain, I think I...
Well, let me be clear. You would avoid the fee until you tie
in.
Yeah. No, and we're not objecting to paying after we're tied in. We think it's a totally fair and reasonable and correct fee once we're using it. On the other developments that I've referenced, I think I can make that setup work for us because I'm not at 21 feet deep and we designed Olive Ranch 2 to tie in on our personal property rather than the city's property so that we only have one stub into Table Mountain. So I can avoid, diving back in there, and I can do that fee on our own personal property without disrupting the world. And I think Table Mountain is actually very shallow, Mono Avenue is shallow. But I would like to circle if I could, and just because I'm not the person who's on my legal side recommending this, I would like to set up a discussion. I can reach out to the city of Oroville to maybe go that route. Would you rather I go that route first before I go to Scott have Scott talk to our attorney, or should
I? Let me answer that question. when you go to the city of Oroville and you go to the attorney for SCORE, it's the same guy.
Oh.
Okay.
Perfect.
So that'll simplify
that makes
it a little
easier.
Bit.
Okay.
But I also wanted to say too, in my review of our policies in SCORE is, and your attorneys probably saw that there was some potential ability for the board to make a decision one way or the other. I think that ties into a catastrophic event. And like, the building was ready to go, you're hooked up, and it burned down that day. That to me would be the only reason I would consider, your request, because you have a catastrophic event. We don't really have a catastrophic event going on here, and that's why I think the language is in there.
We did have a building burn down.
I know you did. I'm very well aware of that. But when I look at, I look at the policies and that, I think that's the only reason those texts would even be in there for that. And I agree with what the past
and
manager
I understand said. Everything that you guys have said, because I know that his fee or his budget is tied to that. I've been in a public works setting where I work for public works departments and had that issue. So I get that, and I understand where it's like you're riding on having that money come in. And I get the idea of tying up EDUs. I've actually seen developers try that with other settings, not us, but I've developers I've worked for as a general contractor. I've seen them get tied up that way.
Right.
I still would like to, because I'm not the know-all on this for our side. I would like to have that discussion with Scott and our outside counsel, just to maybe flesh anything that I just beyond my capabilities.
I think I can look at this board and say, by consensus, we have no problem with those discussions to occur.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
If you want to give me your contact afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would, the board says, please do, talk to legal. And maybe you guys can find a nice work out of this, which I think you've already suggested from the engineering perspective.
I can direct our engineering side to make sure we have this figured out on
the future project.
The future projects, yeah. This, and I, even if I had known this going into phase one, I don't think I could have engineered around it based on the tie-in depth and what had to happen. But I think that from what I have currently on the books to develop in Oroville, I think I can make it work.
Well, we appreciate your discussion, and we really appreciate your company investing in Oroville. And thank you for coming and having that discussion. That's what we're here for.
I want you guys to know we're not trying to be adversarial. We didn't have this on our budget, and we're trying to figure out how to come up with the extra money for it, too. So that's just kind of where it comes from on our side.
It's good to hear.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add two things that I think we need. One, I want to give just a little bit of a warning, and the other one is something that we'll need to look at. But one of them is, for a developer that does decide to not pay the fee and not tie in until the project is done, I do want to just publicly disclose that they do so at their own risk. If there are no EDUs when they try to tie in, they then won't be able to tie in. And so that is, it's sort of the flip side of the EDU banking. You can't bank them, but then, you know, if you don't pay for them, you're not guaranteed those EDUs on the backside. And I don't think there's any danger of running out tomorrow. I'm just suggesting that's. But the other thing we will need to look at is, many of these low-income housing projects and very low-income housing projects, because of the federal regulations that are and the dollars that are tied with it, many of them require payment of all building fees and permit fees and occupancy fees and all of that. So we'll have to look at that as part of the. As part of the discussion that I'll have with the outside counsel for the developer, but that's one of the things we'll need to look at.
On that, I just have a follow-up question based on that info. If I were to, so once the developer is permitted and breaks ground, the EDUs still aren't locked in for them?
Not if you don't pay for them.
But if we pay for the connection fees but we don't connect, we've paid the fee then, or does that not count still? I'm not against paying the connection fee. I think that's a fair fee, but it's the use fee after that we're trying to avoid.
Yeah. We'll have to dig into that and have that conversation.
Okay.
Yeah. We certainly appreciate that and the effort with both councils to work it out, because we want to see a good project across the board. Mm-hmm. Are you with the Housing Authority, too, on some of these for Duke County?
Well, they're aware of our project. We're not partnered with them, no.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Any other questions or comments for the board?
No.
Thank you. We'll move on. Appreciate your attendance here. Thank you very much. Nice to have a good conversation with folks. Item number 9, resolution 01-22, investments of SCORE monies in the LAIF.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So many years ago, SCORE decided to not just let its money sit in the bank and not collect very much interest. So they board decided to start investing it into the local area investment fund, which is LAIF, and we've done that every year since then. So this is just a resolution bringing it to say that we will continue doing that till next year when we bring the resolution back again to make sure that you guys are still on board.
We'll take any action necessary, I don't think.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 01-22, annual resolution authorizing investments of Sewage Commission or Region monies in local agency investment fund.
I'll second that.
The motion and second to approve this. All of us in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Roll call.
Is it a roll call?
With the resolution?
Oh, I don't believe so. Is it a roll call, Mr. Huber?
I think typically we have done a roll call with a resolution. It is not necessary, no. The law does not require a roll call vote for this.
Okay.
Sorry, Hal.
It's a good question.
But whatever the usual practice is, that's what we should do.
Well, we'll go with a roll call. How's that? All signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? So carried. Thank you all. Item number 10, request approval for pump repair from the Exlem Water Solutions.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, so that's Xylem.
Xylem?
So pump number, right either.
Pump number one at Feather River Pump Station, which is a daily duty pump. It is approximately 23 years old. It needs to be overhauled and have some repair work done. The quote, it's not to exceed $18,500. Once again, this is around a $75,000 pump. But I believe that we could get another 5 to 10 years of service out of it with this repair. But I also, SCORE needs to start thinking about the replacement of these pumps at some point here in the near future. Because at some point it's not gonna be worth to keep repairing them. But my recommendation is that definitely we repair it now. So the way that that station works over there is we have three pumps in the ground, three pumps in the wet well working. Two of them are the duty pumps. The third one is a backup for those two. And then we have a fourth pump that's sitting on the ground outside of the wet well. It's inside the actual building. So it's been put into use now. So currently we have no backup pump if something was to happen at Feather River. So we're fine. There's no issues. We have two duty pumps and a backup in there. But one of our redundancy measures is in the shop. So I just ask that you guys approve that we can get it fixed and get it back here as soon as we can.
You feel like that this is a reasonable amount to fix that?
To be honest, Commissioner Masolato, I don't think any of this stuff is reasonable these days. But, I mean, this is a one show. There's one place on the West Coast that does flight pumps, and it's Xylem. So if you don't want them to do it, then it's not getting done.
Okay.
Essentially.
How much does the new pump cost?
Around $75,000. Okay. I mean, it's pretty crazy these days.
Okay.
So it sounds worth it.
Yeah, I definitely think it's worth it. And I think we'll get another 5 to 10 years of use out of it. And that should give us plenty of time to start getting ready.
I'm only going to ask this question because that's what I would deal if my son was buying it. Was there any trading credit for the old one for our new one?
They do offer that sometimes. I don't know specifically on these pumps, but we do have vendors that will offer you a buyback program to get you to buy their new stuff. So when that time comes, we can check.
I support the repair, but it might be thinking in the future, we repaired this and it's now perfect shape. What would you give us on a trade-in?
Yeah.
You see? Sounds like a used car salesman.
It does.
I'll make a motion that we approve the pump repair for cost not to exceed $18,500 to Xylem Water Solutions.
It used to be ITT, which was a lot easier to say.
All right, it's been motioned and seconded to approve item number 10 as presented. I'll signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Slow ayes. Aye.
Who was the second on that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Any opposed? None. Thank you very much. So carried. Now, item number 11, award contract for design of the East Interceptor repair to Coleman Engineering.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So this is the East Interceptor, which serves the Lowell-Pud district that Angie has asked us several times about, Commissioner Masolato has. And so we are now there, Commissioner.
Yes, I noticed that on the agenda.
So we, under direction of the board, Micah and I developed a scoring system for these, and we compared it to the other three bids, or the other two bids we got. We asked for four total. Corolo is busy like everybody else right now and didn't have time to put in a bid. We got a proposal from Coleman, we got a proposal from Jacobs, and we got a proposal from Northstar. After scoring them, Coleman provides the best value to score. It was tight, but our recommendation is to go with Coleman Engineering on this project. And we're very happy with their work so far on the construction management of the inflow pump station. So,
okay.
What are the points that you look at? Is it just the price or is it other things too?
When it comes to professional services like engineering, price is not supposed to be the end all be all. It's supposed to be value. Mm-hmm. So you have to, we had to look at what each proposal was and what we were getting for each proposal, because if one engineering firm wants to give you more, but yet it costs more, then their value might still be there. But we found that the value was here in Coleman. We felt like it was going to be the same. It was going to be a working sewer pipe when it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we felt the value was with them.
Okay.
Now, part of that process is references, resumes, historical repairs that you've done similar to this in the past. So we have a baseline that they have to just qualify to even put in the proposal. And then once they put in the proposal, then we go ahead and score from there.
Okay.
Any other questions? I entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion that we award the contract for design of the East Interceptor repair to Coleman Engineering at a cost not to exceed $137,000.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been motion and second to approve agenda item number 11, the contract for design East Interceptor repair to Coleman Engineering. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? So carried. Thank you all. Item number 12, approve the meeting schedule for calendar year 2022.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So originally we were going to come and ask, and the reason we were going to do it this year is because Attorney Huber informed me that the way we did our holiday meetings was not technically the right way to do it. We needed to have a four-year schedule, or they become special meetings if you just arbitrarily change them. So we were going to go with this schedule, which is the same schedule that we've always had here at SCORE, but Attorney Huber, I know, has reached out to some of you, maybe not all yet, and he had a comment that he wanted to say about the meeting schedule.
Yeah, Glenn, thank you for that. When I came on as general counsel for SCORE, I had a client that had meetings on the fourth Wednesday. They had contemplated moving them at the request of one of their members. Then they decided that wasn't a good idea a couple months later, and then they moved it back to the fourth Wednesday. That's one of the reasons why on some days I have to, you know, appear remotely. I am a little bit old school. I like being there in person, and it pains me to not be there, for every meeting on a regular basis. And so, I thought, well, if we're setting the meetings for the upcoming year, I figured I would reach out and see, and I chatted with Glenn, with the general manager first, and to see is there any issue of moving the regular meeting instead of on the fourth Wednesdays to either the first or the second Wednesdays. Now, I will tell you, if it doesn't work for anybody, I'm more than happy to keep doing what we're doing. And I'm happy to make that work, and I'm happy to do whatever needs to be done. I would really like to be there in person. So my thought was, if maybe I could be so bold as to ask, does anybody know of any specific conflicts they may have where it simply doesn't work for them? And if not, maybe give a homework assignment to take a look at your personal and professional calendars, and if there may be a possibility of moving the meetings to either the first or the second Wednesday of the month, to make it so that I could be there in person. That would certainly be much appreciated. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I'm happy to keep it where it is. But I wanted to ask maybe that if that worked out. And so I don't know how if you want to continue this to the next meeting to give everyone some time to look at their calendars and see what works, that'd be great. If you want to just say, no, we're not doing that, that's okay too. I'm more than happy to to work remotely as needed or in person whenever I can, to make that happen. I enjoy the work, and I really enjoy being there in person. And it is personally, I wish I could just be there. And so that's why I figured I would make the request and see whether or not it works for everybody.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Scott, and I'm just going to throw this out to the board. I think the easiest way to do that, I think, is just ask each of the entities, take it back to their boards and see if the boards have any conflict with SCORE moving it to Wednesday. And if they don't,
For me,
because we got to make sure certain payments are made at certain times.
Exactly. And that was the thing for me. I haven't talked to Lori, who does all of our financial stuff here, because she was out today. So I wanted to talk to her and see what kind of impacts that was going to have on the bill paying aspect of this thing. But if there's no conflict there, it's not a problem for us.
And if I can finish, if you go to the third, then you're the day after Twisted's meeting. and if you go to the second, then you're day after Lopez meeting type thing, and it, just see if they don't have a problem with it.
Right.
If they don't have a problem with it, I'm just throwing it out.
Is it possible to have it on the Tuesday night, the fourth Tuesday of the month? I mean, can we change the evening, or does it have to be on Wednesday?
No.
My only conflict is my boyfriend is a doctor, and so our next year is all planned out for our vacations.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll probably be some meetings that I won't be able to make.
Mm-hmm. So Thermalito's is the third Tuesday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't think the fourth Tuesday, moving it one day would make a huge difference. Although we have moved our meetings around, like we had ours yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So if this would have been, then there would have been a conflict. If we didn't get done in time, because ours started too, they typically don't go long. It didn't, if we wouldn't have had an issue, but that's, but we can also, if we know that this is the move to that day, then we can also know that if we needed to adjust ours, we could look at doing something different as well. But yeah, we could bring it back to our board and
I think that's probably a reasonable way to go, is suggestions, just take it back to boards.
And then there's no problem.
The one thing I would comment too, and I have no problem the first or second Wednesday, is that kind of gets us away from all the holidays, because most of the holidays are toward the end of the month. So we wouldn't have to adjust for any holidays, but I'd even throw it out there.
And like Glenn was saying, to me, I'm just throwing it out there again.
Sure.
The fourth Tuesday would be the simplest, because LOPUD will authorize payment of their warrants, which will mean some money will become to score. And it's nice that it comes to score prior to the meeting, so you know that it comes to score.
Right.
You don't want it to be come to score same day it scores during the meeting.
Yeah.
You know, so if
sure.
If the fourth Wednesday or Tuesday would be good, that could be very well right. The way to go. But I would be respectful to my board and say, you LOPUD's manager, you Twisted's manager, do you have an issue
right.
with score doing this? Does your staff see an issue with it? And if not, then
well, and that's the city council meetings are typically Tuesdays, but they're always the first and third.
Yeah.
Which I can't see a fourth Tuesday wouldn't bother, I don't think, at this point. But that's the other thing, is we need to go back and ask our finance people when checks are written and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I would say we just take it back to our units, bring it back to the next board meeting for approval or for consideration. So
does the fourth Tuesday work for you, Scott?
Yeah, the fourth Tuesday would be fine also.
Okay. So we
yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do want to just end with this final comment. If it doesn't work for anyone, I'm more than happy to keep doing what we're doing on the fourth Wednesday. That's fine. I want to make sure that it doesn't impact anybody in a negative way.
Sure.
And if it does, then we leave it as is. I'm okay with that.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
We're
going to move that agenda item for the next meeting.
Okay. And would we still want to do the Christmas luncheon, that type of stuff? I mean, I would think that we would still want to do that.
I'm still saying that, and that's, yeah, that's.
Okay.
And you three need to make sure your boards agendize it.
Yeah, don't kidding. Okay, with moving on that, staff's got direction for item number 12, number 13, attorney's report. Anything to bring us, Scott?
No, not that we haven't already discussed.
Okay. 14, manager's report.
We kind of covered everything already throughout the agenda. Everything is going really good here at SCORE. Construction of the inflow pump station is back on schedule. They're about to do a big pour tomorrow. That's why Simon's up here. Simon is the CM for, he is the construction manager for that project.
Right.
So.
We were a little concerned with all the water and all the storms and the amount of inflow that and the way that unfortunately they every time it rained they filled the excavation up and they lost about 3 weeks in terms of float they had
and an excavator.
I think they nearly did it twice. I've actually asked them for an updated schedule. I don't think there's no concern about them finishing in time. But we need to make sure they're back on track, and I think they are. They're generally doing a good job from what we've seen.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm. They're working with our staff really well.
Yeah, good to hear. All right, visitor comments. Seeing no visitors, unless you have anything else to add?
I just would like to say thank you on the East Interceptor project. Okay. I'm looking forward to getting rolling on that with these guys.
So. Okay, very good.
Perhaps one other thing I should say, Micah actually wrote it in such a way that he made me do a whole bunch of work that would go into the report anyway on my own dime. So I congratulate him on his expertise at writing a document. Thank you.
Okay, item number 16, commissioner and staff comments. Any commissioner reports?
So I just wanted just to doubly clear so that when we bring it to our board, we are looking at the fourth Tuesday then. That is correct, right?
So. Yeah.
Is that okay with you, Dee?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Yeah, just good. Making sure that when we come back,
it's a good idea.
All right, that's all I have.
Okay. Bruce, anything?
No, I'm good.
I actually have something for you, but I left it at my truck, and after we have the meeting, I'll bring it back in. I also serve on the Housing Authority. I happen to be the current chairman, and I have a development report of what the new projects are that are going on. There's so many of them. I'll bring it in and pass it out to everybody, but it's pretty amazing that right now, we had a board meeting on Thursday. We have 2,500 units in process in this county as we speak that are either in construction or soon to be construction start. So it's pretty amazing. When you look at the Housing Authority's current inventory of units is 3,500 units throughout the county. We got 2,500 coming along the process. So. It's fascinating, and I'll grab and get it after the meeting and let you have that.
You said the county. What about the town?
Well, no. the housing authorities throughout the entire thing. Oroville is probably around 500 or 600 units.
Okay.
Somewhere in that area. I'll give you that report because what it does is it talks about each project has a picture and then it has what's going on and how many units there are. So it'll have a good detail of what's going on.
Is that LOPA too that's in the county and Twisted that's in the county?
It's everybody. Yeah.
So there's more than just the city 500-600 units.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And Chico too. I mean, it's got what's going on in Chico. We just approved another one in Chico Thursday. We had to have a special meeting. It's another one of the Butte County Behavioral Health facilities that's going out next to the Candy's office there. That's a 50-unit behavioral health. Project that'll go for 50 years, and it's for mental health patient clients that are homeless. So, yeah,
it's going next to on Nelson Avenue.
Yeah,
fine.
Candy will sit in her office and look out the window.
Oh, I'm glad she's close to retirement. But anyway, go ahead.
You can only imagine how much it took to get that. That's another story. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else? All right, I would open the floor for motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
The motion and seconded to have this be adjourned. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Come on, Ray, speak up. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you all at 5:48 hours.
Amazon's coming?
For Lake Orville?
First I heard.
Okay.
Oh man, you got a long story there.
Just Google Orville Amazon jobs in Orville, California.
Yeah, I don't think one day is going to affect us.
So let me tell you something. One of the guys I work with, Sun, went out to the facility in Orland when they built one. He said he's making. Young kid, he has his degree, but a young guy started at some whatever entry job they had there, whatever it was, and he's kind of bumped up like really quickly. He said he's making over $100,000 a year out there.
Wow. $3,000
signing bonus. He's got a big one if you want one. From Mid Valley.
I'll quit. So I can get my bonus.
Get
retirement now.
And then I have all the time.
I stay with a small.
Where's it going?
Yeah.
And in fact,
right next to Walmart.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
IU3. Huh? It's looking at IU3.
It's IU3.
And that's where IU3.
Nice.
Oh, the other side of
the old Miller Brewery.
Goes down to Palermo.
Okay.
West side of the tracks.
Yeah, sorry, Dave.
So it is. Not today, my notes, so it's a 500,000 square foot main facility.
Yeah, well, I called Judy, my neighbor, because she knows everything that's going on. and I said, hey, Dee Dee.
Good night, everybody. Thank you very much.
Okay, do you know what's wrong with him?
Thanks, Scott.
Take care, Scott.
But I'll find out.
Take care. Thank you, Scott.
Hi,
Scott.
She called your wife.
Thank you. See ya.
Because you never meet, you never miss meetings.
I'm more interested to give you a hand with that.
Thank you.
On Zoom or anything like that.
Yeah, I figured you were out of it.
It's great.
So this is the one I was wondering about, this Mitchell Avenue.
I'm just going to bring it over to you.
Thanks, Chris.
There you go.
We've been missing you down here
for you.
I'm afraid you get some time off.
Oh, that's good.
Sushi. It was the sushi they got.
But I hope it has an elevator because older people are going to be able to come in here.
Yeah, and mine ended up.
I think it's almost a requirement when you get up
almost
four stories.
Wow.
For the first
I'm glad to see
we have more senior living coming in too.
I'm better now. I mean, whatever happened about 2 nights ago,
And since they're out of the box, they can't go back in the box, right?
That's true.
So it won't break your heart if I eat them.
Not at all.
Okay.
We got more, too.
There's this is enough. I still got to have dinner. I'm a cookie monster.
Plus, my price in there was
And when there's one that's broke down that they're going to it's really good. I just wish that we could get it out to the veterans in our area because it's not a scam. But it feels like a scam. Well, they don't pay anything. They don't pay closing costs. They don't pay insurance. It's just 100%.
That's the fascinating thing about the housing authority. It's quite an education. We do a lot of good things.
We only have a tiny.
I don't know if you ever get to a place. There's 40 people working in that building.
You know, my mom is retired and she lives on Social Security, and the housing authority has given her a new refrigerator, a new heater, and a couple of other new things. And so they contact her about things that they have available. And so now she's taking advantage of it, and I think it's just wonderful.
It's a cool place. I enjoy serving with them. We just picked up Park Place in Chico, that big one. And then across the street, Jamboree is having ribbon cutting the first week of February for the new Jamboree project, which is the old Jesus Center.
Oh, all right.
They're tearing that down and putting in a 50 unit.
Yeah, because it's...
And that's gonna be for the...
This is all brand new for me.
This is for affordable housing.
Oh.
The homeless are going in the...